This topic almost feels ironic to me because I would say in our family of six, I might be the worst one at communicating. But that doesn't mean you don't always have the knowledge to go with it. So we're going to spend the next few minutes talking about when words hurt and how that we can be more effective communicators, especially when it comes to us as parents communicating with our kids. So what I'd like for you to do for a second is think about someone whose words may have changed your life. Just see if you can recall something. You don't have to say it out loud. Maybe that's words that encouraged you. It could be words that humiliated you. Words that empowered you. Or maybe it was something that criticized you. Odds are there's something that popped into your head. One for me that sticks out is I can remember my I know to talk to you about the brain is to do this. So your brain is built from the bottom up. You have the brain stem here. That is regulating your breathing, your heart rate, the blinking of your eyes. This is what's keeping you alive, your brain stem. And then your brain started forming from the inside out. So this little area right here, your thumb, if you were to do a fist, your thumb is the amygdala. That is your little emotion center. And for a lot of our kids, especially my four kids, that is a little space where it's like a fire alarm is going off and screaming constantly. Danger, 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 no matter what we're doing. Truly, if I was just to like walk by my daughter because of her past experiences, you would see her go, like she would immediately do a flinch. And what we end up doing is we practice like, hey, I'm not, my arms are down here. I'm not trying to hit you. I'm just walking, so let's practice it again. Her amygdala is on such a fight response that the fire alarm is just screaming. For a lot of us right now, that amygdala is just like, oh, this is cozy. I may fall asleep. I know I have an hour here, and that's okay. It's just quiet. But for a lot of kids or those with autism, ADHD, whatever, that is on fire. And then the cortex builds around that all the way to the prefrontal cortex, which we now know, as you've probably often heard, is not really fully developed until your 20s. And so we have teenagers figuring out their career paths and voting and doing all the things that they're doing, and they're basically toddlers with giant brains in that moment. And it's like, but that's our brain. This part, this overlapping part, that's the area that has the logic and the reasoning and the thinking. So when your kids have done something crazy, that we call that flipping the lid, that part was not even on board. They were fully in their emotional zone. So what does that mean for words? Well, the lid's got to be closed. Calmness has to be in the room when you're talking with your kids, when you're engaging with them, when you're nurturing them, when you're challenging them, all these things. We need the full brain on board. And so when it comes to us getting mad at each other, because it's in the family that I think that the most hateful words sometimes happen, we're going to show up in Bible class and we're going to be golden. But on the way to the church, we were going at each other's throats. I hope someone has been in that same position, because that's a God party of six standard. Safety is essential, and the brain needs to be on board. How many of you, well, you may not want to answer this, have seen this movie? I don't know if you can hear this. Can you hear that? I couldn't get it to play on the... All right. You know the music. Robert, take it away. There it is. All right. In the counseling world, it's not a creative name, but we call that the shark music. Everyone has shark music. And so I could be saying something like, hey, come here. And I could say it just like that. Hey, come here. And what my kids have started hearing is da-na, 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 da-na. And it's building and building. And their heart is racing. And what they've heard is not come here, but you're in trouble. And so their brain goes to, what have I done, and how can I lie to get out of it? That's what their nervous system is telling them. The, hey, come here, is probably something as simple as, I just folded a stack of towels, and I need you to go put them up. But their nervous system and their brain has said something totally different. Everyone has shark music. and it starts playing when your brain thinks you're in danger, even when there's not the danger. That amygdala I was talking about, it's on high alert, and this is when you have to totally stop and rethink how you are communicating. Because if I recognize, and I'm in my bigger, stronger, wiser brain, that what I'm about to say may overstimulate or scare my kid, I need to find a different way as the parent to approach them so that we can keep calmness in the room. So when I say come here and they hear I'm in danger, I may could swap over and be like, hey, I need some help. Totally different message. I'm not in trouble. He actually needs me. These are called internal working models. We all develop them. It is something that we create in our brain based on past experiences to decide what's going to happen in the future. So an internal working model is I've had multiple interactions, and now I've interpreted that the future interactions are going to be this way. That is my daughter who had experienced one thing, and now in a home that is safe enough, when I walk by, she flinches, because what her internal working model is as someone comes by me, they will hurt me. So what we have to do is now build new repetitions of what the new working model can be. I am safe with my dad. When my dad talks, I can listen, and because he loves me. But that's, for us, an ongoing process. In fact, when our kids first came to live with us, we were living in an apartment, and it ended up being six people and a dog in an apartment, and that was crazy. And thankfully, through the COVID years, we were able to buy a house and spread out and have, you know, much, much, much more room. And Leah and I decided it's most important that the kids' bedrooms get put together first so that they know they have their own places and that they have the security and the safety that they need. We'll get their beds built. We'll worry about them, make their rooms, you know, decorated and all beautiful, and then we'll worry about other parts of the house. And I kid you not, the first night I go upstairs to tuck my daughter into her bed, and she says, go ahead and hit me. And I said, what are you talking about? And she said, will you just go ahead and hit me so we can get this over with and I can leave? And I said, you know I would never hit you. And she said, but we're at a new place, and if I've had to go to a new place, that means someone's going to hit me, and then I'll just go ahead and go on to the next place. So would you just go ahead and get it over with so I can leave? That's her internal working model. Newness means danger, means I'm going to get hurt, and let's just go ahead and get past it. That's the story that I had, you know, to walk through of her. And I ended up holding her for several hours, reassuring her. And for about a year, she would say the apartment is the best place ever, because that's the first place she got to experience that safety. And now I would say that they recognize the safety in the new house. That phrase, come here, for a kid who's been living in years of warmth at home, is just going to think, I'm needed. But a kid who's had frequent shame, frequent belittling, frequent yelling, if they hear the phrase, come here, what they're hearing is, I'm in trouble. And then with neurodivergent children, it's common to find that their internal working models look more like these phrases, I'm broken, I'm too much, I always mess up, I just frustrate others, no one wants to be around me. And these beliefs become the soundtrack, the Jaws soundtrack playing in their inner dialogue. It's what's going on underneath all the words that are being communicated. So that's why when we're communicating together in our family, our tone, our facial expression, the pace of the speech we use, the volume, the unpredictability, all of that matters more than the words that are being said to one another. So now just think for a second about yourself, your spouse, your kids. What do you think their shark music is? The nervous system is responding to perceived threats all the time. before the words even come out of your mouth or the conversation has happened. And obviously, we don't always respond to what is said, but what our nervous system is hearing. So Leah and I may be having a regular conversation, but I hear something that kind of nags at me. She may have not even said anything of that nature, but that's what I heard. And now I'm going to respond in a way that's not as kind. And now she's going to respond in a way that's not as kind. And here we go at each other, yelling. That's most likely because the nervous system and the internal dialogue in our head has flared up, saying like, oh, she doesn't think you're good enough for this. And then here I go, ready to attack. But when I can step back and be like, oh, that's my shark music. Jaws, get out of here. I have a totally different view of what's going on. One of my most favorite stories in Scripture is found in 1 Kings chapter 19. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. This is the story of Elijah. He has fought with the prophets of Baal, and he has been like, oh, your little God doesn't do anything. I just hear him like, meep, 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 at him. God has sent down the fire from heaven. He has swallowed up the altar. And then enter, like, he's like on top. And then enter Jezebel. And it's like the shark music starts going off. Here's Elijah being like, yeah, I just did that. I follow the true God. And then Jezebel's like, and I'm going to kill you. Immediately, I got to go. I'm in danger. No one likes me. I'm the only one. I've got to get out of here. What am I thinking? All of that, you can just, if he had known what Jaws was, he would have been hearing it playing in his head. And he runs, and he is there saying, I'm alone, I've messed up, I can't do this. And then you see, just like my favorite story of Scripture, and we'll pick up in verse 9. And the word of the Lord came to him, and God said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. And the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And the voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? I love this story. I did a study on it several months ago. And I love this, viewing this as like God as the Father responding to son Elijah. In that God's like, I've been with you, Elijah. I've been with you through all of this. And Elijah is now overwhelmed. He's hit this space we kept talking about, but he hasn't run back to safe haven. His internal model has told him to just get out of there, get away. But God, being the God that he is, has come to find him. And what I think about is like, he just showed three ways he could have responded. And I think a lot about myself as a parent. I could be that big old wind that blows in and just starts yelling at my kids. Look how powerful that is. And yet, that's not where God's voice is heard. I could consume that room with anger and fire when my kids have done something. And yet, that's not where God is. I could tear the house down sometimes, like an earthquake. And that's not where God is. Where we find God, and I am not a Hebrew expert. Let's say that now, because I'll probably even say this word wrong. But the word for gentle whisper is kol de mama de ka. And when you break it down, You have Cole being the voice, Demama being the stillness or the quiet, and Deka being the thin or gentle. It translates literally the voice of gentle stillness. What you can picture it as is picturing a baby when it cries, and the mother goes and picks it up and says, shh, and holds it. And what I picture now is God coming across Elijah and just saying, shh, I'm right here, Elijah. I've got you. And that has pricked me as a parent talking to my kids more than a lot of things have. Because God comes when Elijah is knocking himself down in the most peaceful manner that he can. And he has shown, I am a God of power, but I am right here. He calms Elijah's nervous system down. And as he soothes, or as he coos, a newborn child, he then continues to talk to Elijah. God's voice is the voice that creates safety. And a whisper requires proximity, meaning that it completely draws Elijah in. Because again, when that eternal model is raging, when the brain has flipped its lid, logic is out the window, Elijah's spouting off stuff that's not even founded in truth. Because what do we find out right after this? Elijah, there's 7,000 other men that right down near you. You're not alone. I'm going to protect you from Jezebel. You just need to keep going. There's going to be someone to come alongside you. You're not by yourself. Here's the thing with this. Our children, they are learning who God is by watching the way we interact with them. The concept of who, I cannot find this research anymore, but the concept of who God is firmly established, and yes, it can bend, but it's firmly established around 5 or 6 with a kid. That's why Bible class is so vital. That's why what you're doing at home is so vital, because if they are being raised with a godly father and mother who love them, guess what their view of God is? He is a God who loves me. If they are being raised in an environment that is a bit more hostile, where there's a lot of yelling, or where God is not even present, that correlation, it becomes, God doesn't really care about me. He's not there when I need him. He doesn't care about those who hurt. What we're doing at home with our kids is incredibly important. And the way you are talking to them, and I am talking to mine, is also important. Yes, we have to correct. Yes, we have to model for them. And yes, we're going to mess up. All of us are going to mess up. That is where the beauty of what's called the repair happens. There's a new thing that happens now in our family. Our arguments are small, typically. And sometimes they happen in front of the kids. And JJ has now, he's 10, taken it upon himself to go, ladies, 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 whenever anyone is having an argument. It doesn't matter who it is. And I will tell you, it snaps whoever the two people are right out of it, brings laughter back in, and it's really not hard to be like, you're right, son. Like, I was a bit too far. I really suggest finding something that gets everyone to snap out of their crazy brain and come back on board. The God family party of 6 is now ladies, ladies, ladies. And we keep going from there. And it's like, this isn't a big deal. We've let something so small blow up into a big deal. And we apologize and we repair and we keep on going. Better to have the argument and repair than to have the argument and stew on it and not talk for a long time. Because what your kids need to see is that, first of all, you're not going to be perfect. You're going to have these moments like Elijah where you start believing things that aren't exactly true, but that you're going to come back together and fix it, And that's where you also can bring in this the concept of grace, and that your family is going to keep going and forgive and still love each other. Those moments have been very powerful for our own children. Everything begins with connection. So the question is, what voice are our children hearing? What is my child's shark music? Do my words right now increase fear or safety within my kids? Does my tone sound like the God that I want them to know? The God who gently whispers when needed to calm down his kids? Your children are developing an inner voice. All of y'all have it. And they don't forget the emotional tone of your family. They're going to start forgetting the words that you always said, unless it was like a phrase you used every day. They're not going to remember every conversation you had with them. What they are going to remember is, could I come back? Could it be a safe haven? Was I welcomed there? Was I delighted in? That's what matters. Every conversation can either amplify the shark music or it can echo the gentle whisper. And I'm going to finish by reading one more time Zephaniah chapter 3. Verse 17, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but he will rejoice over you with singing. Thank you.